Welcome to another episode of the Here's an Idea podcast brought to you by Tech Briefs. My name is Woodrow Bellamy. I'm our senior editor for aerospace and defense technology. And in this episode, we'll be giving a preview of a topic that will be featured at the 2023 Global MilSatCom Conference and Exhibition. That's happening November 6th through the 9th in London, hosted by SAE Media Group. Go to smgconferences.com/defense for more information about the event. One of the speakers and panelists at Global MilSatCom this year will be Dr. Brendan Mulvaney. He is the director of the U.S. Air Force's China Aerospace Studies Institute. Dr. Mulvaney was a Marine for a quarter of a century, where he flew more than 2,000 hours as an AH-1W Cobra pilot and was an Olmsted Scholar in Shanghai, China. He enlisted in 1991 and was commissioned in 1993 after graduating from UC San Diego. He earned his master's in leadership from the University of San Diego in 2002 and was selected as one of three Marine Olmsted Scholars for 2003. He also studied at Fudan University in Shanghai, China from 2003 to 2005, where he earned his PhD in international relations. He joins the podcast to provide a preview of his presentation at Global MilSatCom next month, where he will give an in-depth assessment of China's space and SATCOM capabilities. So, Brendan, can you start by telling us about the type of research, training, and other services that are provided by the Chinese Aerospace Studies Institute and some background on your role in the organization?
Sure, happy to. So I am the director of CASI. We stood up in 2017 and have been focused on open source native language analysis of Chinese aerospace. And so we do long form research as well as shorter articles. And we've recently started to do a translation series of Chinese doctrine and publications. And by aerospace, we take a pretty broad view. We really, unofficially, we say we cover everything that flies. But it's the Air Force, it's naval aviation, it's Army aviation, it's rockets and missiles, which for China is different. It's a whole different service for them. It's space and satellites, again, a whole different force for them. And because China has a different system than we do here in the West, we look at the entire industrial base and ecosystem, including the party, the government, and the state-owned enterprises and the interrelations of them and how they work with the PLA. So it's a pretty broad remit. Like I said, research is our first and foremost. We do warfighter support, so we go out and talk to units around the globe about what China is doing, how it may impact them and their mission. We do training. We have a three-day course called the PLA Fundamentals that we offer here in D.C. as well as on the road. And then we train at all the major primary military education, professional military education systems throughout the Air Force. So that's Air War College, Air Command and Staff College, Squadron Officer School, as well as all the enlisted PME, and then some flag officer, general officer courses as well. So we keep pretty busy these days.
It certainly is a, fascinating, interesting organization you work with. And, you know, we wanted to kind of use this interview as a preview to your participation in Global MilSatCom, where you're actually participating in a panel discussion on bad actors in the space environment and also giving a presentation on China's space capabilities. And, you know, of course, as you are aware, and, you know, we've definitely covered in our publication, there's been a lot of interest in China's, you know, capabilities on the military side lately. And wanted to start by just asking, can you give us a basic understanding of the type of military satellite communications and space technology assets China currently has and how those compare to the U.S. and its allies?
Yeah, so I'm really excited about getting back to Global MilSatCom this year. It's always a fantastic event and really excited to participate. The short answer is China has a full suite. So anything that the United States has or that Russia has, China has and is continuing to develop. Xi Jinping has made it a personal mission, which means that, as he sits atop the party in the determining stratosphere of everything that goes on in China, that means it's going to be happening, and that's a making China a large spacefaring nation, equal to at least the United States, and eventually surpassing them. And so they have doubled down on all sectors of space and space technology. And that includes the ground segment as well, which sometimes gets left out. But certainly in military communications, they have all the same kinds of things that we do in the West. They, in fact, are, you know, one could say ahead of us, because they have demonstrated the capability of doing quantum communications from space. They've actually just launched a second satellite. They did the first demonstration satellite a couple of years ago. And now they have a second one up there. And so that's something that they're absolutely working on. This is increases the encryption capability and the security of their network. And they, again, because like I said, it's a different system, they are leveraging, or at least have plans to leverage in the future, their commercial sector, by putting up a low Earth orbit, a constellation of satellites in more than 10,000 of them, to make it a more robust and resilient and capable network. So really kind of, like I said, the full suite, as well as the super high end, you know, military satellites that the United States has. I tell most people that while the Chinese satellites may not be quite as good as what the U.S. and our NATO allies and partners have, they are good enough for what China wants it to do, and they are getting better all the time.
And, you know, kind of as a follow-up to what you mentioned there, can you expand a little bit on that point? Is China currently, you know, developing, you know, actively developing or building out a new space architecture or infrastructure for specific military applications?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is one of those things, like I said. So back in 2015 and 16, the People's Liberation Army underwent a massive reorganizational change. And they created this thing called the Strategic Support Force. And that took their space forces and cyber forces and put them together. And so they, since then, have been laser focused on enhancing the reliability and the robustness of this sector. This includes for them the BeiDou system, which is their GNSS, you know, corollary to GPS or Galileo, or GLONASS for the Russians. But they're also building a full suite of communications, like we talked about, as well as Earth observation satellites, right? And so this is everything from synthetic aperture radar to electro-optical, and everything in between, including starting to build out a more robust early warning system as well. And again, you know, I hate to keep coming back to this, but they are also leveraging their state-owned enterprises, their commercial sectors, which have direct ties to the party or the state, and I'm planning to use those for military purposes as well. As well as, you know, let it be said that, you know, China does things perfectly, you know, in the open and legitimately, and is purchasing a lot of capability and capacity from commercial partners, both in China and around the world. So that's one thing that, you know, we need to just keep in mind as the United States and, you know, England and France and Germany continue to leverage their commercial capabilities. China is looking to do the same.
Right. And, you know, the commercial SATCOM, the event is always an exciting time to learn about new technologies and trends and you know, what's kind of happening in the military space. You know, as a follow-up to that, if you look at, you know, just the current SATCOM and space assets being operated by the Department of Defense here in the U.S., have any new threats from China or adversaries emerged recently just, you know, to those assets?
Yeah, I would say there's probably nothing really, quote, new, but a drastic expansion of what there was, right? So we see, you know, more dazzling capabilities. We see investments in directed energy weapons, be they lasers or high-power microwaves that can, you know, attack satellites. We've seen, you know, at least discussions that potentially some of these on-orbit servicing, satellites that China is talking about putting up, those certainly, you know, could have very good parts about cleaning up space junk, extending the lives of current satellites so you're not adding more things up to space. But obviously any of those capabilities for China or anyone else for that matter could be used to, you know, damage or deorbit other satellites. So they have an offensive purpose as well. And so we've seen with the rapid expansion of just numbers of objects and numbers of satellites in space, the expansion, you know, of potentially threatening behaviors as well as capabilities. Like I said, none of it is, you know, new. All this has been around since at least the Cold War. But with China's rapid expansion into space, we've just seen the numbers and the quantity and the quality of those challenges just expand remarkably over the last, like I said, really maybe just 10 years.
And to go back to your involvement with, you know, role with the Chinese Aerospace Studies Institute for a moment, I saw that in March the organization developed the China Toolkit, which is kind of interesting supplemental resource. Can you tell us about the China Toolkit, what it provides, and, you know, how does it kind of help explain some of the trends in China's military, airspace, and missile forces?
Yeah, so this was the chief of staff of the Air Force, General Brown, who now obviously just took over as chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He came to CASI and asked us to develop this thing called a toolkit, because as much as we like getting out and seeing all our brother airmen and folks throughout the DoD, there's just not enough of us to go around. And so what he wanted to do was find a way for commanders at the local level to be able to start to build up that knowledge about China, about the PRC, about the Communist Party and the armed wing, the People's Liberation Army. And so what the Commander's Toolkit is a series of pre-made PowerPoint slideshows with speaker's notes so that somebody at the ground level could tap, you know, a captain or a staff sergeant, you know, some sort of mid-grade personnel to go and do some basic research on the CASI website, watch some of the videos that we have up there, and then use these briefs to do it on a training day or a maintenance stand down day or something like that, just to build up that basic level of knowledge about what great competition is and what China is bringing to the fight and is developing in the future. And so that's really what the toolkit is. We continue to develop things. There's a series of them up there now. We're going to update those and continue to put up new ones so that we can build that level. The idea was that, you know, back in the Cold War, no matter what your job in the military was, everyone knew something about Soviet hardware or Soviet doctrine because that's what we were likely to face in the future. The collapse of the Cold War, and then 9/11 has distracted us, you know, in many ways, rightly so, but it shifted the focus of attention to different places. And so the baseline of knowledge and understanding about China and the PLA is pretty low. And so this was, like I said, General Brown's personal initiative to try to raise that throughout the Air Force. And, you know, it's available to everyone in the DoD or the public writ large because it's a publicly available website.
Right. It's an interesting resource. And so, you know, just a few weeks away from your participation in GlobalMil.com next month, can you tell our audience, are there any specific, you know, new technologies or trends or topics you're looking forward to learning more about at GlobalMil.com next month?
Yeah, so what I find is really interesting is what everyone else around the globe is doing, especially our European partners and their commercial systems. There's a lot going on. I've spent, you know, the vast majority of my time looking at China. And so I don't always see all the newest, latest and greatest technologies and capabilities that our commercial partners are bringing. You know, and there's some great companies out there that have done some really amazing work, and I think we're going to be able to leverage better. And so it makes me feel better to know that they are out there on that leading edge and keeping us, you know, up and equal to the challenge that's out there. So that's really kind of what I think the best part about it is. And then, of course, you know, dealing with the you know, military leaders from around the globe and our partners and allies, and just explaining to them, hey, you know, this is how the United States sees things. This is the challenge we're seeing from China, and helping them better understand their role that they can help play in this, and you know, in the global great power competition.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Here's an Idea podcast. And as a reminder, the 2023 Global MilSatCom Conference and Exhibition is happening November 6th through 9th at the Queen Elizabeth II Conference Center in London. To learn more about the event, go to smgconferences.com.